You are tuned in to a fireside chat with Zany Mystic. Join us now on another exciting metaphysical journey. Relax, tune in, drop out, and take a seat by the fire as we explore new realms and possibilities. This is Magenta Pixie. You can find me at magentapixie.weebly.com. But now, here is Zany Mystic and guest. Enjoy the show.
Greetings, and welcome to A Fireside Chat with Zany Mystic. I'm your host, Lance White. Tonight, my guest is Gail Godfrey. Gail is the author of A Paranormal Reader, which is available at mereweedpress.com. In her book, she recounts real-life tales of the supernatural. Given a scientific mind, she compares the invisible realms to those we can measure. Gail was gracious enough to do the show tonight on short notice, so we're all going to find out more about her tonight, right now. So let's welcome her to the show. Hi, Gail, how are you?
I'm very well, thanks, Lance, and thanks so much for inviting me on short notice.
It's my pleasure. I love to talk about this stuff, and you know, I'm curious to find out how you ended up becoming so aware of so many different things, aspects of the paranormal, and the most practical place to start would be finding out how you arrived at writing a book such as the one you wrote.
Well, the genesis of it is a bit bewildering. I will tell you first that it's a very diverse book. I cover remarkable feats of mediumship, precognition, clairaudience. These were all mystic visions, mystic experiences, traditional hauntings, ghostly encounters, and these were all true life accounts that were relayed to me, and I felt had some qualitative weight to them. Mm. But what was so interesting was what compelled me to write it, first of all, which was, shall I tell you?
Yes, please.
It all started at 4:45 in the morning on February 10th, 2011. I was awakened in my mind by a male voice that said some very personal things, very, very avuncular, kind words to me, words of advice. And I certainly bolted awake, and I said, what in the world was that? And but then got out of bed at 5 a.m. like I normally do, and really put it out of my mind and said, gee, that was a bit strange. And then left the house at 6 a.m., turned out of the driveway, go to the stop sign, look in the air, about 35 feet up in the air is a huge triangular craft.
Oh.
Now, certainly I imagined it was connected to this piped-in voice, Lance, that I could almost feel where it was resonating in my head.
Mm-hmm.
And it did have the effect of, I sensed that it was almost radioed in. But be that as it may, I look up at this craft and I said, I'm a little concerned. I'm not getting out of the car, but I am going to observe this and study it very, very carefully. But be that as it may, I drove off, got on my bus to New York, and actually put it out of my mind in the rest of the day. But I found that I suddenly, after seeing this, had this overwhelming compulsion to start collecting stories, start writing down my stories, and in an effort to help people, who are non-believers, who can only begin to recognize the fact that there are other dimensions if we speak to them in concrete terms that will resonate with them.
Mm.
Each reader is individual. Everyone thinks differently. They learn differently. They process information differently and have a different emotional makeup. Therefore, that addresses the diversity of topics in the book. But I simply started writing down my own experiences, which were predominantly based in my history of being tremendously empathic. If there is a roaming spirit in a building or on a property, I'll bump into it. And I'll know it's there.
mm-hmm.
For
yeah,
better.
That feeling.
Yes. Then I started asking others, well, tell me your stories. But I didn't give them guidance. I didn't say, well, I need so many in this category. I just asked them to speak as they wished. And then I recounted these stories and collected them, and my hope is that it will sway some non-believers, and of which there are many, at least in my environment.
Oh, yes. You live in New Jersey?
Yes, outside of New York, about 20 miles west. Yes.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, the other thing that's important about your work and getting this information available is for those other people who have had experiences, some many experiences from childhood all through adulthood, some just intermittent, who are afraid to talk about these things because they don't want anybody to think they're crazy.
Well, it's very funny because, I told my... My sisters who live close by about the triangular craft, and their first reaction was, don't tell the neighbors. Don't tell anyone.
I would say the opposite. I would say scream it from the rooftops, because the more people talk about these things, the more we have in common and the more we can share them. And then it's not such a horrifying reality or a shocking reality when it shows up for everybody.
Yes, yes.
You know, there is an inevitable moment in time when we will be able to have open contact with other extraterrestrial races. And I believe that this has been going on for hundreds and thousands of years.
Oh, undoubtedly, yes.
Yeah, and it's pretty well documented that the governments of the nation have had interactions, and that we're, you know, pretty much being told that, you know, don't look over here, there's nothing to look at. But the reality is that it is here, it has been here, and everybody has some element of an extraterrestrial or alien blood or gene in them. So I say they're among us, and it's time that we get over our fears and belief systems and embrace the idea. There's nothing to be afraid of. If there's fear involved, then it's usually coming from the forces that want to keep us dumbed down and enslaved. So anyway, that's my opinion on it.
Well, certainly I've done subsequent research, but my first reaction was, oh my goodness, this is extraterrestrial. Mm-hmm. However, as you know, our government has been cooperating with the governments of other countries, and as far as I know, we have craft that are capable of, this very well may have been one of them. Ironically, a half a mile away is an airport that used to be a an air development center during World War II, and there is a defense contractor there.
There you go.
Exactly. This may just have been connected with that.
Yeah,
but,
absolutely.
But regardless, the voice, and it was directed to me, that is quite confounding, and this almost compulsion to write this book immediately after this experience is somewhat unexplainable. But be that as it may, I so enjoyed collecting these stories. They were touching, and my great hope is that those people who tell me, "Well, I'm not a believer," and we'll perhaps read these, and there is a quantifiable aspect to them. In other words, the words spoken by mediums, the facts, the names, the dates are statistically not only improbable but almost impossible to come forth with at random. And I hope that some uninitiated readers, certainly your audience are all believers, but those neighbors, those coworkers we have who are not believers, perhaps would respond to a book like this because it is written in simple, concrete terms. There are no higher level channeled writings. There's no talk of 12 dimensions and Palladians and the things that you and I, they're dear to our hearts. But
right.
So it is intentionally written on a simple level.
Nice.
Now this is we have so many avenues to go down. There is the aspect of the mediumship. There is the aspect of the ghostly encounters, the clairaudience. Is there a topic that you would like me to address?
Well, you know, a lot of people talk about beings of light in their vicinity and spirit guides, the higher self, and using those terms. And so that is one of the areas we could explore. And also, I've been made aware that there is a dark light false paradigm which has the ability to project an image of light, and they are not necessarily beings of light. So, So those are all areas that we can talk about. I know a close friend of mine has hundreds and maybe thousands by now of orb pictures that are just phenomenal.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, that's another little phenomenon that's going on.
Mm-hmm.
And what are some of the encounters that you have discovered that were of an unearthly nature that were more interesting to you?
Well, just to say quickly, I call it orb hunting with my senses. But that is almost another conversation.
Right.
I do want to address the issue of the voices, because that
good.
Is something I do have experience with. I categorize them in almost three categories. There was that very strange piped-in voice that only happened to me once, and it was clearly radioed in. But when we consider we have piezoelectric crystals within our pineal gland in our brain, and that the heart and soul of old fashion crystal radio is crystal, then one may consider that this is a possibility. But let me talk about the benign, helpful, higher self, higher level voices.
Great.
The earliest story I know of this happened to my mother when she was a young mother in the 1950s. She had moved into, my family had moved into a neighborhood where lots of houses were going up. This was after the war. And she was busy in the garden, and she had her back turned to the street. And she didn't know it. Well, all of a sudden, she heard a very loud voice inside of her mind say, "Turn around now." And she did, and my sister, who was three years old at the time, had her tricycle in the middle of the road, and it was far from the garden. My mother just threw down her tools, started running, and at that point, a huge dump truck started coming around the bend at the top of the hill and started barreling toward my sister. It could not stop. My mother just kept running and, in a hair's breadth, saved my sister's life. Now, we say, what was that? Was that a spirit guide? Was that a higher self? Was that an angel? What was that? Was that the helpful dead? And I do have an opinion on that, but in the meantime, let me give you one other example from my book. I had moved to New York from Philadelphia, where I was living in the mid-90s, and every night after dinner, I would race up Third Avenue to get a swim in at the pool after dinner. And I was barreling up Third Avenue, and I was looking in the store windows, and I was not cognizant of anyone or anything around me. And all of a sudden, a very loud voice in my brain, again, inside of my head, said, "Turn around." Same wording, "turn around." And I ignored it. I was in a rush. I had to get to the pool. And by that time, I was looking at my reflection in the mirror in the store window. I was busy. But, Lance, it came back loudly. And it said, "Turn around." And it was so loud, I stopped in my tracks. Turned to my left, and there was this very lovely man standing there who looked at me as though he knew me. It was uncanny. And he stopped in his tracks, and I stopped in my tracks. And needless to say, he was a very significant friend from that point on. But I was baffled by exactly what that was for a long time, and I was mentioning it to a woman by the name of Mary Swanson, who's a well-known intuitive counselor in San Francisco and highly respected for very good reasons. Mm-hmm. And I said, "Mary, what was that?" And she said, "That was your higher self." Mm-hmm. But I was confused. Until I wrote this book, I was confused about the definition of higher self, and I bumped into a vague reference in a book that just came out at the end of last year called The Flip Side by Richard Martini. And what Richard did was that he patiently listened to many tapes and many live regression sessions with people going through the Michael Newton Institute who were describing their life, their decisions, their thought process between lives. And a number of his subjects reported that only 35% of your soul is reborn. The remainder remains in the spirit plane to study, to develop, and to guide the lower self. So that resonated with me.
Yes. Yes, yeah, that makes sense.
There, but now on to the pesky voices, the
okay.
lower entities. I do have many other examples of higher level voices, but I think those were constructive.
Oh, yeah.
When I was a teenager, I must admit I played with Ouija boards, and I played with little magic tricks, and I shouldn't have, and I inadvertently I believe invited in some lower order entities, and they arrive if you invite them in,
mm-hmm,
and
mm-hmm.
as you know,
right.
And we do that usually unconsciously. We think we're playing. We think this Ouija board is fun. We think these tarot cards are instructive. And many, many people use tarot cards very safely, but I was not able to. But be that as it may, whether it was the tarot, whether it was my little love spell to make this boy notice me.
right.
Something happened, and there was a time last year when I was intensively meditating. I said I really need to work harder on my meditation skills, and on a daily basis, I would meditate for an hour, and Lance, I would ride that magic carpet ride, and I would go on trips, and they were terrific meditations.
Mm-hmm.
But the downside was that I suddenly started hearing external voices, not a voice inside my head, external voices calling my name.
Huh.
In a sing-song, teasing, pesky way. And, it freaked me out, to say the least. And,
absolutely.
Yeah. And that's not a good thing.
No, no. I think clearly the difference between the two aspects is that the higher voices are always going to be bringing attention to something that is life-threatening or beneficial or something.
Indeed.
That is a soul.
Yes.
Message.
Yes.
And the lower voices are almost always going to be taking us down a path that is recycling, some kind of recurring energetic attachment that creates more things that we need to have to let go of later. So it just kind of seemed clear that these benign voices are easy to identify in their positive nature.
Mm-hmm. Yes, yes, they seek to help, they seek to save, guide. Another pesky thing that the lower order entities were doing is knocking three times. You ever heard of that?
No.
That little trick? Yeah, that's a classic.
Huh.
And knocking at my door three times. And yeah, and finally I called a spiritual counselor out in California, Dr. Bruce Goldberg. I don't know if you've heard his name, but he's predominantly known for past life regressions, future life progressions. But he is also quite adept and has great understanding of the lower spiritual plane. And so he took me through a guided meditation, almost a hypnosis, and it was quite interesting. It was quite an interesting process. While this was happening, I clearly saw blue light surrounding me, going whooshing round and round and round. But to make a long story short, he rid me of them. They have not come back, but it was annoying, to say the least.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
So hopefully my book will be of help to people, but one of my main thoughts was that now you and I and all of your listeners do pay close attention to channeled words and words of to explain ascension and the matrix, but there are still people amongst us who don't even believe that there is one other dimension out, you know, beyond their granite countertop.
Yes, I know.
You've noticed.
Yes, much to my chagrin.
And,
it's the majority of the population on the planet, it would seem. Sometimes it seems that way.
Does it? Yes, it really does. But so I thought, well, perhaps if they read some of these encounters with mediumship, they can see how quantifiably improbable it is for a medium to come up with a fact, an obscure fact. And for example, when I was married, my ex-husband and I went for a walk in Georgetown. We were living in Washington at the time. And I came upon a little church with a sign outside that it said, and it said Spiritualist Church of the Two Worlds. And services Sunday at 2:00, and I thought, gosh, what's this? Well, the following Sunday, his parents were due in from England, and he was going to spend some time with them alone. So I thought, okay, I'll go to this church. I went there, and it was a church like any other, and there were prayers, but what was very interesting was that the organist said that she had never heard the music that she was playing. She was simply channeling it, and it was new to her. So I thought that was amusing. But the woman, the minister behind the podium, started giving messages, and up until that time, I hadn't really known what the about the concept of messages from the spirit realm on the other side. Well, she came to me and she said, "You, may I come to you?" And I said, "Yes, of course." She said, "Olive sends her greetings. Olive says that an important anniversary has just passed, and she wants to mark that." Well, I said, "Oh, thank you," but it was a bit disingenuous because I had no idea. I didn't know any Olive who had passed on.
Okay.
Well, that evening, my husband and I were having dinner with his parents in this little house where they were staying in Georgetown, and we were having dinner, and I was just babbling on about my day, and I was telling my husband. And then she came to me, and she said, "Olive sends her greetings." And he said, "Olive? What an odd name." And I said, "I don't know an Olive." He said, "I don't know an Olive." And his parents went ashen.
Oh.
And his father put down his fork, and they became terribly silent. And finally, his mother said to him in her very precise BBC English, said, "Darling, you do know that you're adopted." And he said, "Yes." And she said, "Well, we've never told you this, but your mother's real name was Olive."
Oh,
And you know, it was your 30th birthday was 2 weeks ago, and we picked you up at the orphanage after you were 2 weeks old. Years ago, people thought it was best for babies to be cared for by their real mothers for the first 2 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
So Olive cared for you, and that Sunday washed all your clothes, laundered your clothes, left the orphanage in the morning, and we came to pick you up in the afternoon.
Mm.
Now, statistically, it is absolutely impossible, unless you can research somewhat ahead of time, and these people at the spiritualist church had never seen me before.
Mm-hmm.
I knew nothing about this fact. And so the book is filled with encounters that I feel have significance and hopefully will sway the uninitiated, very much like that story. But there are others. There are tales of ghostly visits, precognition, a lovely tale of a mystic encounter with a blue lady.
Now that's interesting. There are a lot of references to the blue lady. And, of course, we have the movie Avatar, and the Hindu gods were blue, and there are references throughout many spiritual literatures of a divine blue being. What was your tale about the blue lady?
A lovely woman by the name of Lisa, who lives along the Hudson River in New York State, contributed this one. When she was a little girl growing up in Texas, she started to see a figure, a blue figure forming by her closet door every night, and she was only 7 years old, and she would scream and carry on and run into her mother. Well, it got so bad that her mother said, "Listen, this has to stop. The next time the lady comes, just remain calm and walk into my room." Well, the following night, this figure began to appear again. But this time, it moved out of the closet, it moved to the foot of her bed, and it took form. And what Lisa could see was that it was a beautiful young woman with a blue scarf over her head.
Uh-huh.
And she said, "Well, I promised my mother I'd remain calm, and I have to remain calm, but I want to see my mother." The problem is she would have had to have run through the apparition.
Oh, dear.
Well, as she did that, she said she had to stop. When she entered the apparition, she stopped dead in her tracks. She was encircled with tiny lights flowing around and around her. Mm. And she said she was enveloped in the most exquisite peace and love that she could possibly imagine. And she said the air felt as though it does when lightning strikes.
Huh.
Yeah. Well, now you and I would take that to the next level and say, well, this is probably a fifth dimension manifestation, a Palladian coming to us as a representation of good. But my intent in including this this story is perhaps to speak to those with traditional religious views, and here is a manifestation that is real and tangible, and suggests another dimension.
Mm-hmm.
So there is a plethora of accounts in many forms in the book.
What about angelic encounters, the beings that definitely appear to be like angels with wings and
yes.
Do you have, what about that?
I'm very glad you asked. I did want to mention that. That's another concrete example. I have a cousin who's my age, and she, it was about 8 years ago now. One Saturday afternoon, she was in New York State. She lives in Pennsylvania now, and she was close to where her grandparents had once lived, and so she said, "Let me stop by," and she was with her boyfriend, and said, "Let me look at the old house," and she did, and she was able to walk around the property a bit, and she asked him to take a photograph of her in front of the front door. Well, it's a point and shoot camera, and it was on low res, and neither of them is adept at photography. And they threw the camera in the car, and they went home. Well, she was downloading the photographs, and she said, "Gosh, there's a wisp of something over my head.
Huh.
I wonder what that is." And she mentioned it to someone, and they said, "Well, why don't you send it to the woman who does your ads? Maybe she can lighten it, or maybe there's something she can do to analyze what this is." So she sent it, the raw form of the image, to the graphic designer, who simply in, you can lighten an image. That's basically, it's called color correct. And what it does is it lifts pixels and it lightens the image. Well, an angel popped out she sent it to me immediately, and I said, "Nancy, you made that up. That is too perfect. This looks drawn. This looks illustrated. This is not a natural form." And she said, "No, Gail, I swear this is what has emerged over this image." And she sent me the original raw photograph. She downloaded it again from the camera, and I sent it to my graphic person, and I said, just hit the color correction button where you lift the pixels, don't do anything more, and lo and behold, the angel emerged for us too.
Wow.
And it's in my book, and it's I find that very grounding, very reassuring, and a lovely concrete representation of what we know in our hearts is there.
Yes. I love that. What about people who see spirits that turn out to be somebody that was trying to communicate a message to somebody in particular?
Well, I suppose the most relevant, there's an entire chapter devoted to one story in the book. It happened to me. I should have known better. I was had to accompany some coworkers to a trade show in Saratoga, but I wasn't manning the table, so I said, "All right, I'm going to visit the battlefield while you all are at the trade show." And I went by myself to the Saratoga battlefield, and I spent the whole day there, Lance. And there was nothing. I felt nothing. The air was clear, and my defenses were down. Well, I get to marker 10 after visiting all of the markers, and I'm la-la-la going to visit ostensibly General Fraser's grave. Well, I didn't know it at the time, but I'm veered off the path, and I made a wrong turn, and I went down an obscure path down a ravine, and I knew very quickly that something was wrong. It was silent. It was darker. The air was oppressive, and you know, you've been there.
Oh yeah.
And but then suddenly there was pandemonium around me, and in my mind's eye I saw people running and strangely skirts, women in skirts. You wouldn't think that on a battlefield. And I could suddenly feel I had walked into a nest of spirits. Not just one, a nest. And they were asking questions, and they were panic-stricken. And I became panic-stricken, but I controlled my emotions. I realized what was happening, and I got to the bottom of the hill. Mm. Well, I braced myself. I surrounded myself in white light and chrome and plowed my way up the hill. But I got out of there quickly. But I said to myself, I'm revisiting that spot with mediums, and we're going to find out what happened.
Oh.
Well, it wasn't easy. You know, you have what I call parlor mediums, people who very kindly sit in their warm parlor connecting with past loved ones who've passed on. And there are mediums who are capable of communing with either earthbound spirits or revisiting spirits.
Uh-huh.
Well, it took me a while, but I found a very good couple of mediums to revisit the battlefield.
Oh, nice.
And they with me, and ironically, it was at about the anniversary of the battle, which the second battle, which was in mid-October, and they had tremendous insights into who was in that spot and why they were there. And basically, this one medium, Marge Kaufman's opinion was that it was a band of people. She saw blue uniforms, but ironically, I later found out that they were not Americans. She said they're frustrated. They're revisiting the part of the battle that went badly for them, and she relayed names and facts. Well, I later took Marge's thoughts and sent them on to the park historian, who was very kind and gave me his thoughts on Marge's thoughts. And then I researched what could have happened in that particular spot. And but the bottom line is that this group, I think, was appealing to me because I'm a Revolutionary War buff, and they knew perhaps that I would research this point in this story to the last bullet, which I did, and retell their story in my book, which I did. And spirits will reach out to people who they think can tell their story, or they'll reach out to help them.
Uh-huh.
There are many circumstances. It's a very complex issue.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
As you know. But,
Do you feel that you were guided to these various places? That I'm beginning to get the sense that you were truly through the invisible realms, that you were led on a kind of a mystical journey that was part of the process that was desired to have you create this book from outside of time and space.
Yes.
Yes, do you feel that you were led from one, you know, not necessarily in a linear fashion, because we know that there is no such time, that their time is not an existent thing, it's a creation,
mm-hmm.
and we're in a quantum universe. So these spirits are able to guide us outside of time in any mm-hmm. moment that we need guidance for a specific purpose. Is that something that relates to what we're talking about?
Yes. I mean, there are many levels of an answer I can give, and I'm still baffled by the visitation of that triangular craft and why I was so compelled, almost like Richard Dreyfuss in what was that, Close Encounters, building his devil's tower in the dining room.
Well, you know, and, one thing I want to share with you really quickly. When I had no idea that you had had any contact or any UFO experience because of the nature of the chapters in your book, which all relate to mystical experiences, and NDEs, animal communication,
I don't mention it
so
in my
on.
Book.
And I often doodle when I'm talking to my guests. It's just my hand just does it. I write notes. I take notes because I'm interested in learning about what my guests are sharing, and you've mentioned three or four different things that I'm going to follow up on, but before you told that story, I had drawn a doodle that was in the shape of a kite, and it was a triangle, two triangles, and then there was a circle that joined the right and left side, and then I was just kind of drawing a kind of like a line, like you might see on the freeway, from the top of the kite into the middle of a circle as if it was going down and there was a communication coming up from the bottom. And then you mentioned the triangle and feeling as if it had been beamed to you. And I couldn't have drawn anything more clear without knowing it right before you shared that. So I just thought I'd say we have a demonstration of how this works now.
Or what they call in remote viewing ideograms.
Ideograms.
Yeah, okay. But you definitely connected with non-local consciousness there, and you were reading some realm. Yes, but I also feel I was pulled off the path that day in Saratoga, where. If I had gone to the right, I would have visited the marker, but I was drawn to an obscure path down a hill on the left.
Oh.
And why did they choose me? Why did they all pounce on me?
Oh.
And because there are other people visiting the park, I wonder if they knew that I would tell their story. They wanted their story told.
Huh. Well, you know, again, that's a multidimensional complex.
Yes.
You know, it works on so many levels. That it depends on how you want it, how far up the ladder, or you know, where you want to connect to it. But some people say that this everything on this level has already happened, and we're basically being kind of tweaked from outside of time to have things mesh in a fluid, dynamic manner. It's kind of an organic process, so that we both have free will and yet we don't. It's happened and it hasn't.
Yes.
So it's so important to be able to embrace paradox, because that is part of what moving out of duality and the limited nature of a black and white thinking indicates, and that is where we are going. Is being able to move into triality and multidimensionality and be able to tap into parallel lives, past future lives. I think very soon, this is something you might want to comment about, is that we are moving into a more empathic, some people are moving into a more empathic and telepathic communication. Do you feel that is something that is opening up for more people at this time, from what you can see?
Certain people, select
people. Yes,
people.
Right.
And I don't know what the criteria is, but certainly I interviewed a woman who communicates with, and it took me a while, I was skeptical at first, animals.
Oh, I was just going to ask you about that. You read my mind.
I did. And I'm so impressed by her skills. And she has skills I do not. I think we are all graced with different skills. And
Right.
This is her gift.
And who is this?
Well, I call her Gwen in the book.
Oh, okay. You know, oh, okay. All right.
And we didn't have a chance to speak of her, but she's also does spirit rescue, which is actually a very complex subject in itself. And she was able to extend many insights into the spirit realm and the angelic realm and how they interact and how we as grounded beings on the third dimension can what our role is in helping our friends whose spirits have not quite progressed onto wherever they go, their dimension.
But she was the one that spoke about the animal communication as well?
Yes, she also communicates with animals, and they wanted her to know that we're all connected, that connections never die. Whether it is an owner to an animal who has passed on, or one human being who has lost another, either through death or a sad parting, that energetically there is always a cord that connects everyone and anyone who has had a close connection. I mean, certainly we're all connected on a consciousness level and on a universal level, but there is a special connection between old friends and old lovers. And,
oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm, we can feel it.
Oh, yeah. You know, one of the things that came to mind while you were talking was something that I've experienced in numerous occasions, and in one instance, I was actually living with somebody in which this happened, and it is when an angelic being or a higher dimensional being enters into a physical body to accomplish something or to communicate information. It may be 5 seconds at the grocery store. Or it may be, you know, a more personal interaction where you're actually taken through some of the things that you need to find out about. Is that something that you have acquired some stories about?
No, I did not bump into a story like that. But if we have time, let's hear yours.
No.
No. I can't interview the host.
Well,
it's compelling.
Yes, you can. Yes, you can. Well, in one instance, I was it was in San Francisco, and there was an old woman that got onto the bus, and as she was getting on, she seemed to change in energy, and she turned and looked right at me and said something to me personally that was very uplifting and positive, and then she turned away and seemed to be returned to, you know, however it was that she was manifesting, but I've had many instances of people that I've been talking to, and something will come through them. In one instance, I was talking to somebody who was doing kind of a psychic foot bath where I live here, and she was giving me information, and then she told me some things that were so personal that there was no way that she would have picked that up from the physical thing that she was doing with the foot bath. And I asked her about that, and she didn't remember. She had about 10 minutes when she didn't remember, you know, what was said. So It's often something that happens out of the blue, and an angelic being or a higher dimensional being will come in and manifest, and then, you know, if they've accomplished their purpose.
They've communicated what they needed to communicate.
Yes. Possibly like the voice that you have heard and many of us have heard that says something that stops us, and we turn around and there's something that's life-changing or life-saving.
And they're insistent.
There's one instance where somebody told me a story about getting into a car accident, and he said that he saw the truck starting to crash into the railing, and the other car was hitting it to the right, and his car was headed right for underneath the truck, and he knew he was gone. And everything slowed down as if it was in slow motion, and he said he could feel or see. It looked like there were was a ghostly leg working the gas, the brake and gas pedal and the steering wheel, and everything was in slow motion, and then it just kind of speeded up, and when he came to, he was on the other side of this horrific accident, and he was unscathed. So I bet many people have that experience. I'd be willing to bet every listener that he listens to this in the future will have some kind of story that they'll just be, oh, yes, that's like, so, you know, my experience. Or, you know, these are the things that are fun to talk about with your friends. And, you know, it's important to have friends that we can talk to about these things.
And these are the things that hopefully will, I do have this sense within me that we need to do everything we can to bring those non-believers into the fold, and hopefully stories like this, which are more concrete, and will be the first step toward sparking their own drive to explore and study other dimensions and the matrix and the galaxies and so forth.
Mm-hmm.
That's my hope.
Well, I really align with that, and I share your feelings, and if it weren't for the idea that we care about our fellow beings of light that are spirit incarnate in human form, temporarily having an experience, then we wouldn't be doing this. So I think that's a sign that we are truly evolving when we can care about one another from the heart. And those entities who are not able to do that, those beings who seem to be more self-service to self and negatively oriented, are not going to be part of my world in the future.
Well,
so,
we sometimes hope we're segregated from them.
Well, I mean, at some point we will cross over or transfer into another dimension somehow.
I do feel that, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And do you also feel that there is no such thing as death?
Oh, of course.
Yeah.
I've known that since I was a child.
Oh.
I was brought up that way.
Well, I wish we had time for that story, but, you know, we're just about out of time.
I understand. Yes.
And I want to make sure that you mention the name of your book and the website where it can be found.
Certainly.
Before we sign off.
It's a paranormal reader from Merwede Press, M-E-R-W-E-D-E, press.com. And it's been a pleasure to be on your show, Lance. You're quite interesting.
Oh, well, so are you, Gail. So I'm glad that we have a mutual love fest going here. Thank you so much for coming on tonight. I really enjoy talking with you.
Thank you.
We could talk for hours, probably.
Probably, yeah.
Well, best of luck to you with, you know, sharing your information.
Thank you, Lance.
All right.
Okay, good night.
Good night, everybody. Good night, Gail.